I want you to know that when I prepare to preach or to teach every Sunday in the Sunday school class, that I have my final prayer to the Lord is, first of all, Lord, prepare me that I will do what it is that you want me to do. Help me, Lord, to teach what you want me to teach. Help me to preach what you want me to preach. And then I begin to study it, and then I realize that I'm not capable of doing that, except by His grace and His mercy. And I want you to know that today my final prayer before I came up here was this, that I want what I say to be said from Him, not me. I want it to be from His heart, not from my mind. And here's my final prayer, is that if I say anything that's not right, that He fixes it before it gets to your ears. That's my prayer. What do you think is the goal of a church? Not the spiritual answer. Not what you, well, you know, to grow spiritually, you know. What is the goal of most churches? To reach people so we can grow. So we can have more people next year than we had last year. To have more money next year than we have this year. Maybe stand. I'm going to be honest with you. When preachers get together, you think, man, this is a holy spiritual thing that all preachers are together. Preachers are people too, you know. And before, in every conversation, before the conversation is over among preachers, one preacher is going to ask the other preacher, how many of y'all running? How many of y'all having worship last week? It boils down to numbers. Just this past week, Kathy called me into her office. She said, look, I go to the women's, and I know that we had X amount of women in your church, in the women's study on Sunday night. How many of y'all have in the men's group? And I went, ministerially speaking, 100, 2, 3, 4, D3. She said, 400? I said, 43. It's about numbers. Nickels and noses is what I call it. And you know, if that's all that a church is about, we've missed it. We've missed it drastically. If we're just concerned about numbers, if we're just concerned about money, which all these are good. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying if that's all that we're concerned about, we have missed it. If we don't have what He wants for us, and we can grow to be the biggest, the mostest, the most mega church in Texas, but if we're not teaching the quality of God's love, then we'll be just as shallow as a 3-inch creek running up in East Texas. It's more than about quantity. When I coach in baseball, I know y'all was wondering when I was going to get to that story. But when I coach baseball, during the course, we have what's called hitting or offense and defense. We work on both sides of that in baseball. And when we're in the hitting part of that, we had hitting stations where every kid was doing something about hitting for an hour. You had your hands wrapped around a bat for an hour doing something. And we had hitting stations. And the one that I just love to look, you know, sort of look over my shoulder at, was the tee and the toss. And the tee is you had one kid, 5 balls, put on the tee, he hits it. Ball toss, had a kid on a knee, 5 balls, kid with a bat, he tossed them up so he could hit them. And invariably, they thought more was good. So that kid would start throwing the balls up and tossing just as fast as they could swing. I got 100 cuts in. But how many of them were good, son? And we finally told them, listen, I'd rather you have 5 quality cuts than 100 rush through. Because you can learn from bad cuts. You'll just learn bad cuts. But 5 quality. Quality. I think if we really are faithful to the Lord, we would rather have 5 quality people who are Spirit-led, doing what the Lord called him to do, than a whole room full of people who's here just to take up a space so they can go home and say, I've been to church today. It's about quality. It's about quality when it comes to the way of the Lord. And listen, quantity's not bad. Okay? It's not bad. Again, please understand what I'm saying. But it's about quality. So how do we get to this quality thing? How do we get to that place where we are to be growing up into the Lord and doing all of that? And in our text that we read today, it says in verses 12, but let me start with 11, and he himself, that's Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But here's what he gave them for. He says, I've given those for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the saints. Edification, to lift up, to build up. That's what we have. All of our gifts, our talents for the Lord, they are not for you. They're for someone else. They are to edify, to lift up, to uplift someone else. That's what it's for, the edifying. People should come to this church to be lifted up. They should be edified. This should be, this place, this church should be an edification station. That's what it should be. Lifting someone else up. Now, I know that it's hard to lift someone up when you're not lifted up. So how do we become edified? How do we ourselves become edified so that we can edify someone else, so that we can lift up the body of Christ, the saints, for the edifying of the saints? That's what we want to spend our time today looking at. And I want to look at about seven things that I think are the basis for edification, how we do that. And the first one is the foundation, or the basis of edification. And the basis of edification, according to verse 15, says that speaking the truth. Speaking the truth is the basic foundation of edification, that you speak the truth. Truth is a foundation for all growth. In fact, in John 17, that is the true Lord's Prayer. The Lord is praying to his Father. He knew what was coming. He knew that the cross was in the near future. So he goes off and he begins to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, he prayed for himself. That's okay to pray for you. It's okay. So he prayed for himself. Secondly, he prayed for the disciples. And then he prayed for the disciples who were to come. That's you and that's me. Isn't it great to know that the Lord prayed for you? And even today, he is sitting on high, being our chief priest, our intercessor between us and the Lord, the Father. He is there interceding. But in that prayer, when he's praying for the disciples, in verse 17, he says, O Father, sanctify them. And then he said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Where do we find truth? In the Word of God. We find truth in the Word of God. And I was thinking, as a teacher for so many years, when I began to teach in biology, and I began to read what some people say about what is the truth, it's hard to find the truth in the classroom. It's hard to find the truth. And I know that you guys, some of you are in college, some are fixing to go to college, some are in school, and I'm not saying that your teachers are liars. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the truth according to God's Word. They will even say, people even say today, that there is no such thing as absolute truth. There is no absolute truth, they say. Truth is truth according to you. My friends, I'm here to tell you that there is absolute truth. It is the Word of God. That He is truth. He is the one who gives truth. And we have to speak that truth. We have to tell the truth. And if the Bible is the word of truth, in fact, Jesus himself said in John 14:6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we find truth in God's word, then you know what? The Bible must be pretty important. There must be something to reading God's word. And I know that there are some and you may be one of them. You may be here today and be one of those people that when you come to church on Sunday morning, church, not Sunday school, when you come to church on Sunday morning, whether it be 8:15 or 10:40, and that's all you do, you come and prayerfully, for 30 or 40 minutes, you hear God's Word taught, and that's it. That's it. I'm full. I'm going home. And for the rest of the week, no more look at God's Word than you did the week before. My friend, if you want to know truth, as Jesus said, the truth that will set you free, it's in God's Word. And it's more than just a little 30-minute time that you come on Sunday morning. It's opening God's Word on Monday. It's reading His Word daily. That's where we find truth. That is the... Where else are we going to get truth? Where else are we going to find the truth in life except through God's Word? The basis, speaking the truth. But look at this. The motivation for edification is speaking the truth in love. Verse 15 says that we're to speak the truth in love. Love is the reason that we should seek to grow. If there's not love behind all the things that we do, if it's not love that's behind the growth that we want, then what good is that? What good is that? It's shallow. It's shallow. That we are to speak the truth in love. Some people say that, hey, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Doesn't matter how much it hurts you. It doesn't matter how much that it tears you down. I'm just speaking the truth. My friend, if you're not speaking the truth in love, you're just rude. That's all. You're just rude. In the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter says that love is not rude. So if you're going to speak the truth, and if you can't do it in love, my friend, don't speak. Don't speak at all. Speak the truth in love. And we speak the truth in love to grow, not to grow, as we said earlier, by numbers, but to grow in the quality of love that wants people to come. That wants people to come and be a part. That's quantity. And you know, I mentioned 1 13. Let me just take off with it a minute. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 was written because of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul was trying to tell the church at Corinth that all of your gifts are used for the body of Christ, not for yourself, but for the body of Christ. You see what was you know what's happening in the church at Corinth? They were arguing about who had the greatest gifts. My gift's greater than you. I can preach. Well, my gift's better than you. I can teach people. Well, my gift's better. I speak in tongues. My gift's better than yours. And Paul went through that whole list of saying all those gifts, they're given to you, but not for you. They were given for someone else. And as he went through the whole lineage there of all the gifts and all the statements of what they were for and who they were for and all that, in the very last verse of chapter 12, you know what it says? But I show you a better way. Thus, 1 Corinthians 13. He says in verse 1, he says, if I speak with tongues of angels and have not love, I'm as a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. That means it's worth nothing. It's just noise. It's just noise. If what you have to say is not based on love, it's just noise. We must speak the truth in love. We must speak it in love. You know, we should, and in fact, again in Corinthians, we are to judge the saints. You know that? We believers should judge the saints. In other words, if you see a Christian brother and sister doing something wrong, it is your duty to tell them. So many times, everybody comes to the staff, you know what so-and-so is doing? You need to go see them. My friend, you saw it. You do it. You have been called to help a Christian brother and sister who has gone astray. Not that we try to get away from that. I understand that's our role too, but it's your role too. That you are to go and to describe to that saint, hey, brother and sister, you're not doing what's right according to God's Word. You need to do that. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters in Christ. If it doesn't pain you to do that, if there's not a pain and a hurt and a sorrow in your heart when you do that, then you're not called to do it. It should be in love. It should be in love. And when you think about what the Lord has done for you, think of this. What has He done for you? He's given you eternal life. Not somewhere down there in the future, that's for sure. But He's given us eternal life for today, that we can live as if that day has already come. The kingdom of God is not somewhere down there. The kingdom of God happened to you the day you received Christ as your Savior. You are in the kingdom of God. Amen. Isn't that great? That we have the kingdom of God that's at hand, as John said. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we are in the kingdom of God. We are saved, not from hell, but to something else. Isn't that great? And from knowing how much the Lord has loved us, it should just well up within us so much that it just explodes, that it just comes out. We should live in the overflow of God's love, just in the overflow of His love. And, you know, and I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, how many of you have that little honey jar at home? Yeah, that you eat honey in. Yeah, yeah, go ahead, it's okay. Yeah, honey. And is it sticky? I don't know about you, but every time I use honey, it gets everywhere. And the little cap that you put on top, it just sticks. It just sticks all over the place, and you can't eat it without it just, and you got to, I eat honey, and I got to go take a bath. It just sticks everywhere. And I thought, you know, shouldn't it be like God's love? That you're so full and it's overflowing that before long people next to you are going, God, that's sticky. And it just gets all over them. That's being full of God's love. Full of God. That's not quality. That's not quantity. That's both of them. There's so much of it that you can't help it. And I wonder, As Jesus was telling John to write Revelation, and in chapter 2, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he was writing to them, and he spent about 3 verses saying how much he liked what they were doing, and he saw all the good things that they were doing, and then he got down to verse 4, and he says, but I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. And I wonder if we've lost our first love. You remember what it was like? How many of you in here have been married 40 years? 40 years. Or you were married 40 years. You have a, you know, okay, 50? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see? Do y'all remember what it was like when you first fell in love? Oh, you do? Ooh! Yes! Yeah, praise God. You know, you know that feeling that you get when you fall in love. You know that? That fire that burns, that fire that keeps you awake at night, that fire that makes you want to, well, I really don't want to leave. That fire that doesn't let you eat, that you're in love so much. All these people in the front row are going, ew. Yeah, those old folks know what love's all about. But you remember what it was like, right? And then you get married, and you couldn't wait, you couldn't live without them, or you just had to get married. So you got married, and oh man, wasn't it great? Wasn't it great for about 3 weeks? Yeah. In about 3 weeks, you realize, you ain't the person I married. Things change, right? And then it's from that day forth, you decide, okay, today I choose to be married. And then the next morning you wake up and you go, okay, Lord, I choose to be married. And eventually, through all of those choices that you of every day that I choose to be married, that love that was that passionate, that fiery, that love that just kept you awake at night, turns into a mature love. A mature love that you come to realize, you know, this marriage thing, it ain't about me. This marriage thing is about them. And I choose to die to me so that the marriage can live. I choose her. I choose him. And that's when that love begins to grow. And it grows into a maturity that you can get in the car and run off to Beaumont and never say a word, but you had an intimate relationship in that car because you're on the same wavelength. And those of you who know what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. That's a good, mature love. Now, that fire's still in there, okay? I know that, okay? It's there, but it's different. And sometimes when we fall in love with the Lord, and we that first love that we had for the Lord that just burned, and man, in fact, we were going to set the world on fire for Jesus. And eventually it just sort of fades. Instead of that flame that's flaming, it becomes that slow dying ember. Because this whole church thing became about us. And it failed to be about Him. We failed to see that this love relationship that we have with our Lord is truly not about us. It's about what He's done for us. Oh, church, have we lost our first love? Have we lost our first love? And you know, we do what we do for the Lord, and we're fired up to do it because He is so good. And I wonder, when we stop doing the work of the Lord, is it because He stopped being good? Or do we just move away from Him? Now, you know how we love the Lord? You know, He doesn't come down. I don't know if He comes down and sits with you in your living room. You know, sits across from you in that chair and begins to talk to you. I don't know about that. I know that we have this spiritual relationship with our Lord through the Holy Spirit, and we can love Him through that. But do you know how we truly, truly, really, really love the Lord? It's by loving each other. And I know, you look at some people and you go, ooh, I can't love that person. I can't love him. I can't love her. And the truth is, you're right. There are some people you just can't love. But if you are loving the Lord so much that it just overflows, you love them through the Lord. That's how you love those people. You love them through the overflow of His love for you. That's how you love them. You love them that way. You love the Lord. Do you have to choose every day to serve Him? Just like you choose to stay married. Today I choose to be married. Today, Lord, I choose to serve you. Because it's a choice. You can choose not to. You can choose to not love the Lord today. Or act like it. You can choose that. But you can choose to serve Him. You can choose to follow Him. The motivation for edification is love. The direction of edification in verse 13 tells us that we should love in the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ should be our goal in edification. When we begin to grow up in Him, then we're going to be growing up to be more and more like Him every day. We're going to be more and more like our Savior. That is as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that's called sanctification. You're growing up in Him. You're growing up. To be more and more like Him. I was trying to express this to our Sunday school class, to grow up spiritually in the Lord. I was trying to express that last week. It's kind of like to be in the fullness of Christ. The only way you can grow up in the fullness of Christ is that you first of all have to have Christ. It's called the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Now, when you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit. One. Quantity. One. There's no more filling. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how come I don't feel it? How come I don't pray, Lord, I need that filling again. I need a fresh filling. I need that over and over and over again. You know what that means? That means, and I was trying to explain, I drew it on the board, and I don't have a board, but I drew a heart, and in the heart, I put all kinds of compartments in there, like those little shelves that you hang on the wall, and you put little things in there, the miniature things. Like that. Picture that in your mind. Those little compartments in there. Every little compartment represents a part of your life. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that every compartment in your life is opened up and He's entered. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You give Him all that you are. You don't save this part over here, but Lord, I like this, what I do on Saturdays. Lord, I like this part of my life on certain days. Lord, I like this part of life of wanting this and wanting that. Lord, and so you keep that closed. And that prevents you from being We can have the Holy Spirit, but not let Him have control. That's not being filled until we open up the compartments of our life and let Him in. Being filled with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Christ, to be more and more like Him. Are we Christ-like? Do we live like we're Christ-like? Or are we in the fullness of Christ? Everybody wants to see a church that is Christ-like. Everybody wants to know, that is your church following Christ? And the truth is, you know, when they talk about the church, you know who they're talking about, right? They're talking about you. We are the church. The church can only be as Christ-like as you are. The only picture that people see of Christ is you. That's the only picture we have. Now, I know we've seen those pictures of that guy with that long flowing hair, blue eyes, and light skin. I know we've seen all those pictures. No, they see Christ in you and me. That's the picture. That's the picture they get. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes you're the only Bible that somebody reads. Isn't that scary? Oh, you mean when I flew off the handle at work? Oh, Lord. I'm ADD. I just had something come into my mind. The other morning I came to work and I had I had this bag over my shoulder. I had a coffee. I had a book that I'd taken home to read the night before. And so I'm getting out of my car and I reach over to grab the bag over my shoulder, the book under this arm. I'm reaching for my coffee, and as I reach for the coffee, the top blew off and the coffee went all over the inside of my new car. And in my mind I went, stupid, if you'd have just taken the stuff in and come back and gotten your coffee, none of this would have happened. But you know what I did? I threw the bag on the floor. I flipped the book on the ground. I reached and I grabbed the cup. I turned around and Sharon Terrell is driving in the parking lot. And I run in there and I put the cup down. And she's out there picking my bag up. And I said, I'll get it, Sharon. I'll get it. And I thought, Miller, that's going to come back as an illustration one day. I was the only Bible that somebody driving down 39th Street saw. And I was kicking and fussing and throwing. I know you've never seen that side of me, have you? Well, I bust your bubble, didn't I? My friends, we are the only Bible that somebody reads. What are they reading? What pictures are they looking at to see Jesus? And then we have the scope of edification. In verse 14 and 15, he lists off a few things there that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him. All things. The scope is all things. We are to grow in all things and in all areas of our life in Him. In Him. And you know, I know you know people like this. It says no longer being children tossed to and fro by the doctoring and the deceitfulness of man. You know, do you know people who just follow after just anything? The new thing, they're going with it. The new fad. You know, the new religion. The ongoing, the most popular church right now. You know, and so they're going to and fro just wherever it is. You know, that they're going to follow that. It doesn't matter what it is. They're the people that want this and they want it now. They see it. And we call that this morning lust. Lust after anything. That doesn't mean sexual. It could mean anything. Lusting after anything. And you're looking and you're saying, I want this. I want this. I want this. You know why people, I believe this, why people do that? Because they're not very pleased with who they are. They're looking for something else to fill their heart that only is a place for Christ. He is the only one who can satisfy. But these people, and me included at times, go after something else, looking for something else to fill a void in my life that only He can fill. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Only He can cleanse your heart and make you whole. Only Jesus get this. There are people who want to change their bodies and change the way they look because the world has told them they don't look good. They need this. They need a tuck here. They need a nip here. They need an uplift here. They need all of that because the world says you don't look good. Get this. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of Him who created all of the universe. We have been created by God. You look fine. You are a child of God. Get this. Don't let the world tell you that you're something that you're not. You are royalty. Your Father is a king. He is a Father that wants to give you the kingdom. Don't let people tell you and sell you short. You are a child of the King. We are to grow in all things, in all areas of our life. But listen, Philippians 3:12 tells us that we are to grow at all times. At all times. It says that not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This is Paul saying, I'm telling you these things, but listen, it's not like I've arrived. My friend, it doesn't matter how old you are or how many degrees you may hold, the Lord wants to teach you every day. He wants to teach you. Let us be teachable. Let's listen to what He has to say. Let's listen to what the Lord is trying to teach us today. He wants us to grow in all things. That's edifying. That's edifying to be lifted up into all things of the Lord. And then there's the prerequisite of edification. The prerequisite for edification is that it says in that scripture there that the whole body joined and knit together. I love that. I love that. And I have studied and taught this. And when it says that been joined and knit together, I always focused in on that knit thing, okay? I focused on that knit thing. And this week it just hammered, joined. We all here, all of us here, most of us in this room, chose to join First Baptist Church Groves. You said, I want to affiliate with that church. For whatever reason, you felt the Lord leading you here, and you joined. So we all joined First Baptist Church Groves. My friend, you can join and not be knit to the body of Christ. We can join oil and water, but they won't knit. They won't join together. They'll stay separated. We can join the body of Christ. And if we don't allow the Lord to knit us, we're just a member on a roll. And when I was looking at that word knit, we went out to Branson, Missouri with the group a year ago. And on the trip, Colleen Kessel was sitting back here with this ball of, I thought it was twine, but they called it yarn. And she was just doing those things. And before you know it, every woman on that bus had them pair of them little needle thingy-doos, and they're doing this number. She taught them all on the bus how to knit. And I thought, how cool is that? And they were, let me show you what they were knitting. This is Joanne Castillo's. She just sent, I think she said, 25 of these to MD Anderson for the cancer victims who have no hair. And she sends those. And that's what Colleen does. A lot of ladies do that as well. And there's thousands and thousands have gone. And so this is one that Joanne made. And I noticed, you know, there is white and there is, I don't know what color that is. I call it dark pink. And then there's a light pink and white and blue. And it's all intertwined in there. And they are all knitted together to form this. And when I was thinking about this knit together thing, I thought, you know, isn't it cool that the Lord can take different colors, different races, different socioeconomic backgrounds, rich, poor, intelligent, schooled, all of that, and take all of those differences and knit them together in a beautiful tapestry called the church. Isn't that a beautiful thought? No matter what color. And she did this Afghan by the all of these are sort of all in different directions. These are in rows. And Colleen brought me this morning where she made an Afghan out of those different colors that that she made. But here's the one that there's those dangerous things. Man, those are dangerous. Look at, they just stabbed that thing. But then, look at this. I don't know what this is. I don't know what she's making. Maybe a bib, I don't know. But the thing that she doesn't even know this. This string. It's just hanging. It's just hanging. And it joined this Afghan. But it's not knit to the Afghan. We can join. But if we don't let the Holy Spirit knit us together with the body of Christ, we're just joiners. Have you allowed the Lord to knit you into the body of Christ? He has given us gifts. He has given us talents. He has given us abilities to be knit into the body of Christ. And we have to allow Him to knit us together. The most important thing that in that knit thing that I got in my mind, it says that in verse 15, it tells us there's one common thread that should run through all of this. They told me that right there at the top, the beginning, that's the most important knot in this whole cap, this thing right there. If that never got started, this would never have been finished. That's what Christ is. If Christ isn't the center, if He isn't the beginner of our life, then it's nothing. Christ should be the center. It's through the head, as the Scripture says, through the head, Christ, knitting all of these things together. Christ as the head. And then let's look at the necessity for edification. The necessity for edification is that every joint supplies. That wherever all of that is knitted together, when you allow yourself to be knit into this body of Christ, you are knit for a reason. And that is to supply ministry. To give something back to the church. Growth is dependent upon ministry. Whether it be quantity or quality, it depends on the ministry. Every part does its share. Every believer has a contribution to make, and every believer has a contribution to receive. I love thy church, O Lord. Her walls before me stand. But please excuse my absence, Lord. This bed feels mighty grand. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. But Lord, no cash from me. Thy glory comes too high. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Yes, though I seldom pray or pay, I still insist that I am. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, others, Lord, should do their part, but please, don't count on me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. O Lord, my hymns of praise I bring because it doesn't cost to sing. We all have a contribution to make. And someone in this room has a contribution to receive from you. We all have a part. Everyone in the body of Christ is needed. Listen, my dad died when I was 18 years old. You know, when you're 18, you're young, dumb, and stupid. I didn't get a chance to tell my dad what I thought of him. I'm going to tell you this. Looking back as I matured and got older, and looking back at my dad, I saw my dad baptized. He wasn't a believer when I was growing up. I was 9 years old and saw my dad walk the aisle and get baptized. My dad, I sat by my dad. Hear me what I say. My dad couldn't sing. My dad couldn't preach. My dad couldn't teach. My dad could barely read. But something came into my mind years after what I'm fixing to tell you happened. We were in church in Sunday school one morning, and somebody said, you know, that cooling tower we used to have here? Well, all churches, I guess, had cooling towers. And that cooling tower at the back of Co-Baptist Church was leaking. And somebody made comment, we have a problem. And, of course, when men start moving, kids follow, right? We want to just follow, see what's going on. Actually, we might be late for church. You know, we thought that'd be cool too. So we're following the men, and I can't remember. It was three or four men, but it was Pete Sigler maybe, and Mr. King and my dad. And they're all walking, and I remember looking up and seeing those men walk, and I saw my dad at the end. He was at the back. And y'all, I see this just like it was yesterday. I look in his back pocket, and he has this wrench in his back pocket. And it's sticking out, those box-end wrenches. And he's walking, and as they get to the tower, they look and they get out of the way. And my dad walks up there. He gets down on his knees in his church clothes and does this, and the leak quits. My dad couldn't sing. My dad couldn't preach. My dad was not a teacher. But he could stop a leak. That was his ministry. We all have a ministry. And sometimes we think it's so small that what's the use? I tell you what's the use. We're the use. We all need everybody. We need you all. Whatever it is, we need you. And you have a ministry. You have a ministry to give back to the Lord. Everyone is needed. And finally, the goal of edification. Verse 16 says to increase the body. To increase the body. But notice where it came at the end of verse 16. After all of this was being said, it says that it's for the growth. My friends, if we live like we should live, if we should live in the overflow of God's love, if we are doing ministry not only here but ministry out there, people will want to come. They're going to want some of what you got. They're going to want that. And that's living in the overflow of what God... See, the quality of life that you have because of who Christ is in you leads to quantity. It does. The quality of His love for you and your love for Him breeds quantity, gives numbers. We should live in that overflow. And we should live in that overflow of what's been happening already in our life. That's edification. That's edification. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. My friends, have you joined the body of Christ? And if so, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to knit you into His service? What we do at Baptist Church is at the end of the service, we have an invitation. Now, let me say this to you who are in here. Every one of you in this room, every one of you in this room is fixing to make a decision for the Lord. Every one of you. Now, you may decide to follow Jesus, or you may not. That's a decision. You may choose to be knit into the body of Christ and not just joined, but that's a choice. You may not. You may choose this day to say, today, I rededicate my life to the one who has given me life, or not. But you're all going to make a decision. What will it be? Father, we love you. We don't understand why you love us sometimes, but we so gratefully receive it. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, in this invitation time, I pray, Lord, that those who have heard the word, whatever it may be, Lord, that they would come, Lord, and to boldly step forward, Father, to express their need of you, whatever it may be. And so, Father, I pray that this day. Lord, we're all going to make a decision here today, Lord. I pray that more decide to follow you than don't. Father, I pray that all in the name of Jesus. Amen.